You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Welcome to the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas. Thanks a lot for being here with us. We hope you're having a great day and things are going well in your world. We are just really enjoying all the growth we've been getting, and thank you to all of you who have been referring the show to other people. It's just really cool to meet new people, new listeners, and to hear their stories as well. So thank you to all of you who have been doing that. If you listen to the Paranormal Portal Podcast and you like what you're hearing, please head over to iTunes and leave us a good review. That really means a lot and helps the show get recommended to a lot of other listeners out there. So we really appreciate your help in pushing the message out there. But if you have an encounter of your very own and love to be on the show, I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com, and I'll be really excited to see your email, and we'll get in touch, and we'll dial it in to get you on the show to tell your story as well. But today's show is fantastic, but it's a continuation as well. Of course, we were talking to Diana from Oregon, and she is rejoining me today to continue her stories, her path, her journey, and we're going to get right back into it right now. Welcome to the show, Diana.
Thank you, Brent. Good to be back.
It's great to have you back, and thanks so much for making time again today to do this. It's, you know, consecutive days. I know it's a busy life, but I really appreciate you taking the time to come on and finish your journey with us. It's just been an amazing journey so far.
Well, thank you.
Well, you're welcome. So I know we went through quite a bit of your history yesterday, and I guess if we're going to take this in a chronological order, you just got done talking about the floating mist that was at the place you had worked, and the residual experiences of the people that worked there. You believe they were imprints of the people that had been working there for years and years and years. Do we continue in that same place, or are we going somewhere else in this next part?
Oh, no, we're going somewhere else. This will be about 1996. I decided to open up a metaphysical shop.
Okay.
And old house rather than a regular storefront.
Oh, okay.
And I had found one in a tiny little town that's inside of Macon, Georgia, and it's called Payne City.
Okay.
And it's an old mill town, and it's real small,
uh-huh.
And it's also a real bad neighborhood, apparently.
Oh.
I didn't realize quite how bad it was when I opened the shop there, but it was a nice, at least 100-year-old house.
Okay.
And anyway, I made a metaphysical shop out of it, and it had a full front porch that was old wood, and the steps leading up to it were old wood. So anytime anybody was coming, you know, I could hear it even if I wasn't sitting at the windows, because it had a lot of windows up at the front, so you could pretty much, you know, see it. Sure. I actually had windows on three of the four sides.
Mm-hmm.
So you could see, you know, if you were in any of the rooms, you could see. At any rate, I would have heavy boot-sounding footsteps come up the stairs just about daily, come across the porch, get right to the front door, and then stop. And being, you know, that I was wondering, you know, is somebody maybe just casing the joint and not coming in, you know, what's going on? And when I'd peek out the window, I wouldn't see anybody. And, you know, like I said, it happened nearly every day. So sometimes I was in view of the porch, you know, looking out the window when the footsteps would happen. And it sounded kind of like cowboy boots or work boots or something, you know, that kind of heavy male boot. Uh-huh. And they always come right up to the door and then stop. And I even opened the door once, you know, like, come on in, whoever you are, you know, whatever spirit you are.
Oh.
And I didn't hear any footsteps come in, so I don't know if it did come in or not. But my shop did become very haunted.
Oh, wow.
And the reason why I mentioned a bad neighborhood was some fella, like a few blocks away, had stabbed his girlfriend to death. And one of my patrons said that the spirit of that girl was in my shop.
Oh, wow.
The man across the street from me got killed in his little house that he lived in. And anyway, you know, it was just pretty much a bad area.
Yeah.
And
wow.
The spirits, I guess, because, you know, I welcome them, you know, like, come on in if you want to, you know, hang out somewhere. And I guess they did. And I saw, let's see, one time I saw this big orb just fly, and other people were there too, and they saw it just fly across the room, and it was about maybe about the size of a soccer ball.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. And people would hear sometimes, you know, like breathing, like somebody's, you know, heavy breathing somewhere in the room.
Okay.
Or different things. Now, one thing that was annoying but was kind of funny is I had gotten ADT, you know, the alarm system to keep the store safe.
Sure.
And I couldn't use it because it would go off in the night by itself. And I suspect that, you know, it might have been ghostly activity going on because it was motion sensors. And
sure.
It's like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm running out, you know, across town to go, you know, see my store, and the police are coming out, and it's like nothing, you know, no attempted break-in, nothing.
Would you find things removed? Would you find things removed when that happened?
No.
Okay.
It was just, yeah, very strange. And I was like, okay, this is either the spirit activity, or maybe I get a mouse in here or something that's setting it off. I don't know if it's sensitive enough to pick up a mouse, but
sure.
Maybe, you know, I just don't know. But I had to start turning the alarm off at night instead of turning it on because it was just going off so regularly, you know, just in the middle of the night. I had named the place Auntie Griselda's Fairy Cottage
to
try to not frighten off people in the Bible Belt.
Sure.
If I called it something, you know, different, you know, I was like, you know, it might frighten people. So do something that's kind of whimsical and, you know.
Yeah.
And the first room when you walked in, that was my main focus. It was done in, you know, kind of pinks and peaches and with fairies and fairy statues and different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really believed in the little the fairies with, you know, the dresses and that type of thing.
Okay.
And, you know, I figured, you know, since I had seen the little sparkly lights before, that they might appear like that sometimes. And I also believed in the the kind from like the Irish myths where they're little people that might vary even in size, you know, like mm-hmm. the Norwegian trolls or, you know, that type of thing, you know.
Sure.
I still consider those fairies.
Uh-huh.
But, and I believed in those, even though I hadn't seen those up to that point. But, at any rate, I didn't believe in the kinds that wore dresses. And one day I was sitting at my computer working on some stuff, and a little misty fairy that's maybe 3 inches long
uh-huh.
with wings and a dress flew right in front of me. And
wow.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, I didn't think that looked like this. You know, I thought that was all made up. You know?
Oh, that's wild. That's really cool.
Yeah, and I don't know if they can change form or not. You know, maybe it took that form, you know, just because that's the mm-hmm. imagery that was so much in the story, you know, because that's the common current image of a fairy.
Right.
You know, so
yeah.
I didn't know if it was that, but yeah, that was really cool.
That is really cool. Wow.
I was also working at the computer, and I saw a dancing light come in the window. Well, it didn't come in the window. I thought it was coming in the window, but it was dancing on the wall, and I was looking out the window. You know, it's shining a mirror or something like that, and I didn't see anybody or see anything. And then it moved on to the ceiling, and then it went into the next room that was, I had the curtains drawn on that room. That was a meeting room that we just used at night.
Uh-huh.
And it gone in there, so I was like, okay, this is nothing outside, because if somebody was even shining something in a window, there is no way this little dancing light is going from wall to ceiling and then into the next room.
Right.
So I also think that was, you know, paranormal and maybe a type of fairy. And I've never seen the movie, what is it, that you build it and they will come kind of thing, Field of Dreams.
Sure.
I don't think I've ever seen that movie, but that's what I was thinking. I was like, are they coming because I named the store this and I have all this, you know, imagery.
That's a cool thought, though, because, you know, we talk about that in the paranormal about magnetism, and it's an esoteric or occult idea that once you resonate towards something, you will magnetize it towards you. And it's used a lot in, you know, positive thinking and stuff, like even The Secret is basically, you know, that big program that kind of swept the world recently, and it's just basically regurgitated mm-hmm. old wisdoms. But the idea is that you manifest it in your mind first, make it a reality, and then it becomes a reality. And so maybe that was it. Maybe that was you magnetizing yourself to those types of entities just because of the imagery and such that you were utilizing.
Very well could be.
Yeah, very powerful.
Yeah. Now the next story I'm going to tell you about, that story really amazed me, and I think it may have even saved me from some kind of harm.
Oh.
I didn't have a lot of traffic in there,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I was in there by myself a lot. And this fellow came in, and he just had a real bad vibe about him.
Oh.
And he wasn't looking at any items.
Okay.
And I thought that in itself was weird. You know, if you come in, most of the time you want to look at what's for sale, you know, see what kind of products there are or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But he just kept coming to me, and, you know, I was standing there, you know, talking to him and answering whatever questions he was asking. But it was all just very, I don't remember now what he was asking, but the whole thing struck me as very strange and real bad vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And the lights in the store started dimming, like brown out, dim, and then go normal, dim, and then go normal. And he started looking at, you know, up at the light, you know, and feeling nervously.
Uh-huh.
And he was kind of twitchy.
Mm.
And then he just turned around and left. And when he did, I had a styrofoam head on a shelf in the next room that had a little chain mail doodad that goes across your forehead. You know, it was
mm-hmm.
the styrofoam head was displaying the little tiara kind of thing. And that head flew from that room through the doorway, dividing the rooms, and hit the back of the front door that he just left out of.
Wow.
Like, get out and stay out.
That's
the way I felt about it. Oh, wow. So I think the spirits were protecting me. I think something was wrong. I think that man had some kind of bad intentions.
Mm, that and sounds like it. Yeah, that really does.
It's almost like he could sense them better than me, the way he looked around nervously with the lights dimming, because, you know,
yeah,
I was thinking, you know, what's going on? You know, is it a brownout? Is it spiritual? I didn't know, but, you know, I wasn't nervous about it. But I wonder if he maybe had the sight and saw something I couldn't see. I don't know. But.
Yeah, or he just felt that. That vibe, you know, that everybody's claims to, and I think everybody has experienced those points where they feel something is just really wrong. Something's just really wrong.
Yeah, that's how I felt about him.
Yeah, and I'm sure he was getting that from maybe if that was indeed the spirits of the place that were kind of looking after it, then I'm sure they were targeting him with that and, you know, giving him that really bad feeling like, uh-oh, this is going to go sideways. And, so, yeah, I think that's really cool. And those are the kind of hauntings I really love hearing about, because I figure if they're going to be around, they might as well be useful. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, it's time to participate a little bit. And, you know, if you can be a help, then they should be. So that's a really cool story. I like that.
Yeah, they may have also protected the shop at a later date when, I'll tell you, I couldn't use my ADT anymore because they kept, or something kept setting it off.
Uh-huh.
And on the very back was a little kitchen, and I would use that to serve people tea and cookies, or they could do readings back there. And there's a little screened-in porch off the kitchen, and I had a little table out there so people could sit out there if they wanted to. And somebody had apparently made a break-in attempt. They had started through that screened porch, and it's like they started and just stopped for no reason. And I wondered, I don't know, if they had gotten frightened away by the spirits as well.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's a great reputation.
Yeah, right across from that screened-in porch, there was a big shopping center with an antique store and a pub that served like Irish food and, you know, drinks.
Oh, sure.
And people that would park there at night often we had their cars broken into. So, like I said, it was the worst neighborhood that I had realized when I opened the store here. But, yeah, I wonder why they didn't finish, you know, breaking in. And I wondered if it wasn't the spirits doing something.
Right.
To help protect me, or, you know, protect the shop.
That's really cool.
And when I had to close it, I had this little shop bell, the kind that, it's an antique one, that you ding it by hitting the little button on the top, you know, and it rings. And I had that on the counter, and I bought it as a haunted bell. People, you know, the people I bought it from said it would ring on its own, but it never did that for me. So I was like, okay, they must have had a spirit in wherever they, you know, their bell in it, like the bell. But on the very last day there, I hadn't packed the bell yet, and the bell rang all by itself.
Oh.
And I thought that was so sweet.
That is so
like,
sweet.
You know, they were saying goodbye because, you know, when I was leaving, you know, I was telling all the spirits there, you know, I'm leaving now, you know, I can't stay open anymore. And that's when the big Fanny and Freddie crash happened. And
sure, yeah.
No. My business had gone down, and you know, so I couldn't keep it open.
Oh, well, did you keep that bill then, or did you keep any of those items that you had had experiences with?
Yeah, I've got them in my storage unit.
Oh, okay. Because, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think those kind of things are just fascinating. And I don't collect items like that. I don't know if I really want that kind of, you know, questionable energy in my home and stuff. But I find those things fascinating because, you know, for people like, okay, so I'm going to kind of spiderweb here a little bit, and I apologize. But I think, you know, Zach Bagans might actually have it right from Ghost Adventures. He's got the, of course, the Haunted Museum in Las Vegas. And I think if you're serious about trying to understand the phenomena, one of the greatest things you could do is try to get your hands on haunted items and study them, you know, because if they truly do have an attachment or a presence, that could be a really powerful methodology, because, you know, it's like in the Sasquatch world, you know, Wes Germer kind of made this statement really popular. He's like, you know, nobody knows because nobody's got one in a cage in their garage to study. But I think that having a haunted item might be the closest thing possible for the paranormal ghostly investigators, you know? So, I don't know. I just think that that stuff's cool.
I used to collect haunted items, and I still have some, but unfortunately I had to get rid of some when I moved from Georgia to Oregon.
Oh, okay, yeah. But I think that's fascinating. So, you closed up the shop, and is that when you moved to Oregon?
It was some years afterwards, but okay. I forgot to tell you, while I had the shop, one of the patrons there that I ended up becoming good friends with, she had problems getting, well, first she was hearing sounds, she would say, in her ears or the back of her head, and then she started getting possessed, and she had called me at the shop, you know, something's wrong, I don't feel right, and, you know, I'm getting, like, somebody else's thoughts, and my dog is growling at me, and snarling at me, and, you know, and I don't know what to do. And I asked her to eat something, because I've always understood that eating something, if you're getting possessed, helps ground out your energy, and it'll stop it. And I've heard that people that intentionally get possessed, you know, when they're ready for it to be over with, they're going to eat because that will help ground it out.
Okay.
And bring it back to themselves. And she said she didn't have anything to eat there, so I asked her if she could get to the shop. She didn't live too far away from it, so she came on over, and I fed her some snacks that I had in the store. And that helped her. But the interesting thing was, when she got there, her eyes looked so different. They were all dark and sunken and just kind of... When you look at, you know, I guess the eyes are the
window.
Seat of the soul or whatever they say. Because it didn't quite look like her. It looked like somebody else.
Oh, geez.
When she got there. But then when she was eating, you know, she started, you know, getting more to herself. And because of her problem dealing with this, I discovered that there's a chakra where the skull, the back of the head where the skull meets the neck. And it's called, in Chinese, they call it the ghost door. And in other practices, they call it the mouth of God.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And, yeah, and apparently that's a psychic center, I guess, for clairaudience. It seems to be that people hear or can get possessed through that area. And if you're not wanting to get possessed, I discovered using lavender oil, lavender essential oil, will stop it.
Oh, cool.
If you put it in that area.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And, you know, I wouldn't say use it straight because so many people have sensitive skin, but maybe mix it with the carrier oil, some coconut oil or something like that. But just put it there if somebody's in a haunted situation and getting, because this poor girl was getting, like, pinned, she was described as pinned down, and basically the spirits were invading her, you know, just to talk to her, and then, of course, the later one was, you know, they were trying to take her over, but, and she didn't know what was going on.
That's incredible.
But putting some lavender oil at the back if somebody's having that problem is quite helpful in stopping it.
And that did stop it for
her? I'm sure. Yeah, and then when she learned to control it, since we learned it's a chakra, then she could learn to control it better, too, you know. But when you don't know what's going on, you know, you feel like a victim.
Right.
So if you can find out what is going on.
Yeah.
And it turned out a lot of it was her ancestors trying to communicate with her.
Oh, okay.
And tell her things. But then because she was open there, some other things were coming.
That's really scary. That's very scary stuff.
Right.
And I really appreciate you bringing that information to the table because, you know, I mean, it's a tough thing. What does a person do if they're in the midst of that and they don't have someone readily available to give them that advice or even to know to look for that advice? So I really appreciate you telling us that because that's really cool.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, she's just a talented psychic now. She's learned to control it.
Oh, good. Good. Very good. Wow. Okay, everybody. I think it's time we got to take a break. So don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Everybody, and we're back at it here on the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Buckle up, we're going in. So where are we going to next?
Okay, next, I had met this other woman who ended up being on my paranormal team. I put together a little paranormal team,
uh-huh.
And my husband, of course, is part of it because I drag him into everything. And he doesn't like ghosts. And oh. I hope any ghosts in my house don't take offense at this, but you guys already know it. He thinks ghosts are dumb because they're not smart enough to move on to where they're supposed to go.
Oh.
So,
ooh.
So he finds them boring, and he doesn't think highly of their intelligence. So during the meeting, we all know how to play with energy, and he was making energy things on his head, like he was making antlers, and then the two girls that were really psychic could see, well, the one was seeing it, and she would be giggling because she's seeing it,
uh-huh.
And, you know, knowing what he's doing, yeah, I can't tell what he's doing, but she could, and he would do it. The other one, who should have been able to see it, but he knows that he just kept losing energy and getting sleepy when he would send it to her, even though she's real psychic too.
Uh-huh.
And where she was kind of lackluster and like a drained kind of person, you know, tired, but she'd want to do things, but she was tired all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Her energy level started picking up.
Uh-huh.
And she started looking better. So then when the meeting was done, you know, with me trying to talk about investigations we're going to do and whatever, and, you know, he's busy playing on the side with them, we decided to try, you know, really direct. He says, have you ever considered you might be a vampire? And he says, I've been, you know, doing all this energy stuff, and you haven't picked up on it, but you've taken my energy. And she's like, what? And she didn't know anything, you know, about it, so... Long story short, you know, he was teaching her, you know, what a psych, you know, about what a psychic vampire is and stuff, and started, all the males in the group started sending her energy, and she just absorbed it, but something wow. weird went on with it. She started, her eyes started turning black.
Oh, no.
It's like the whole eye would start turning black, and... Yeah, it was just so weird. And she would, you know, suck their energy, and you could tell her health was so much better when she did that. And then us females tried, but she didn't like female energy. It just didn't work that well for her.
Oh, wow.
Which okay. was peculiar, too, yeah, because, you know, we thought, well, you know, if this is what she needs, you know, to be healthy, you know, we'll send her some energy. What the heck, you know? And
right.
But the females couldn't do it. It was only male energy that really helped her. And in various, you know, different times when she'd come over to the house and we'd be having meetings or whatever, there was one time she looked so bad that I was surprised she even managed to drive to the house. She was just dragging her feet and looked sunken and just terrible, you know. We're like, what's wrong with you, you know?
Right.
And she's like, nothing, I'm fine, I'm fine. And then my husband says, let me feed you. And he fed her, and I got out the video camera because she didn't believe her eyes were turning black either, and I was videotaping it so she could get to see it. And sure enough, her eyes turned black, and her health got so much better, and her energy level was so much better. And it's like even the sunkenness, she seemed to fill out.
Wow.
And yeah, and I got it on videotape. Her eyes turned black, and she had trouble believing it herself. It's like, oh, you know, I can't believe that, you know. Because she didn't know, but she was the only real psychic vampire that I ever met. You know, other people that I've met that do it just because they want to do it.
Right.
But this girl really seemed to need it, and there has to be something about her for her eyes to turn black, because that's not a normal thing.
No, it's not.
You know?
and what does that mean then? I mean, is she's obviously a functional person, but is that something that she would have to learn to control then?
Well, yeah, she failed the battle, unfortunately, but she would experience a lot of pain when she was sick too.
Oh.
And I don't know if it was some type of fibromyalgia or something else. I don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
I know she'd be at, you know, doctors all the time, even before we met her. And, we had gotten her to learn to absorb from large crowds of people. Like if you go to a concert, you know, instead of draining one person, because, you know, when my husband would volunteer, you know, he'd be tired after feeding her.
Right.
You know, it would take him a little while to regain his energy back. And same thing for the other male in our group. You know, he would, if he volunteered, he'd get tired. But we were thinking when she's not with us, too, you know, for her to maybe learn to get it from large crowds so that way she's not draining any one person, but as people get excited and raise energy in the room, that she could absorb it. And she was doing that for a while. She was, you know, going to malls or going to concerts or going to her husband's church.
Uh-huh.
You know, just different places where people, you know, raised energy. And, you know, that way, you know, it wasn't harming or draining any one person, you know.
Right.
And nobody would be the wiser. But she quit doing that and then ended up just getting real sickly and ended up committing suicide.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
but, yeah, she
tragic.
Was definitely unique and
it's
just, I don't know, just weird.
It is.
I don't know anyone else, you know, that's eyes turn black, you know, like that. I've only heard of black-eyed kids, you know, other than her.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there are black-eyed adults as well that are reported being experienced. You know, I guess it makes you wonder, what if the black-eyed kids are just, you know, energy vampires? They're normal people most of the time, but they go into these cycles where they need to do this. I mean, I don't know. That's quite a thing to ponder, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oof. Wow. Well, I'm so sorry that she passed, but wow, what an experience.
Yeah, while she was living, she could also see, we called him the Orb Man.
Uh-huh.
There was in my backyard, there was a tree and an orb, and we discovered it because she could see it with her eyes, and he would come down from the tree, and if I asked him to come down for pictures, he'd always come down, and I could capture him in pictures to see that he's there, but I could never see him with my eyes, and I would try, I was trying to learn to see that energy for myself, and I never could see him, but I have a close-up of an orb that she was watching as he came down the tree so she could tell me where I'm supposed to point the camera. And it looked like you could see the like top part of a man wearing a suit.
Oh, okay.
In the orb. So it was an intelligent orb, since he would come down when asked. It wasn't a piece of dust or something, because I know so much of orbs, you know, they're either pollen or dust or moisture and that type of thing. But there are the few that aren't. There's something else. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, this one was something else. And I had chickens in the yard, and they had dug up a bone one time, and now, in hindsight, I had assumed it was maybe a cow bone or something like that, but now, in hindsight, I wonder if it was maybe a human bone. Because it's like, why would that man be in the tree? I wonder if he, now I wonder if he's buried in the yard there somewhere, and maybe my chicken scratched him up or scratched up a piece of him.
Wow.
But, you know, I don't know, but that used to be farmland, you know, where I was living once upon a time, and that's why I assume maybe it was a cow bone or something.
Sure.
You know, along those lines.
Oh yeah. What if he was hung from a tree and then buried right at the root? Yeah.
Yeah, I had wondered about that, and then I had that bone, I just picked it up and threw it in my study closet. When the chickens tell you
Oh no.
And I wonder if I had a piece of that man.
Oh, maybe.
Wow. I just don't know.
That's intense.
Oh, let's see. Moving on to, I guess, about 1997, we went on an investigation to an old abandoned house, and we had the permission of the owner, but he didn't come out there with us, but we had, you know, permission to go out there and check it out because it had a reputation for being haunted. And when we were approaching it, it was all overgrown and looked like it's about to fall in, so we didn't even go in. But when we didn't realize we weren't going in yet and just approaching it, you know, with the flashlights, it was like a flood, like a tidal wave of glitter. But it was really those tiny little pinprick lights that I was telling you about. I consider fairies, but I don't know if for sure. I don't know if that's really what they are or not, but that's what I think they are.
Mm-hmm.
But it just flooded over the front porch and over the bushes that were there and spread out into the grass and up in the trees.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, when we got to the house, you know, first we were looking at that, and I had video recorded some of that, and the only way to see it at all is, like, to sit in the room totally black with the videotape going. But I did capture some of it, but... Yeah, it was just so amazing. I've never seen anything like that before. It was just like a tidal wave just flew right over the railing of the porch and the bushes that were right in front of the railing of the porch and just scattered.
That's pretty intense.
That was a really magical thing.
Yeah, it's like a cascading wave of just energy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah, and the house was so rickety, I was like, oh, somebody's liable to get hurt if we try and go in there, you know.
The wood
looked rotted, and so we ended up not going in, but yeah, that was pretty neat. And then in 1998, me and my husband were coming out of the grocery store, and I don't know why it caught our eye. I don't know if it reflected sunlight and made us look up, but there was a UFO in the sky.
Oh.
And we were sitting there watching it, and two fighter jets come at it from opposite directions. When they just about reach it, it blinked out. You didn't see it anymore. Oh. And then they crossed paths and, you know, continued down. And then when they were away, it came back, blinked back on. And it looked like a saucer to me, and it looked like, you know, it was reflecting the sunlight as it tilted a little bit or something here and there.
Sure.
And then they'd come back, and when they got back to it, it'd blink out again. When they passed it and went a little ways, and it would blink on. We were watching that for a while. We finally got tired of watching it and went on home. that was neat.
Now, how far away was it from you, do you suppose?
I am terrible with distances.
Sure. I mean, would it be under a mile away, or would you think? Or if you
probably
don't...
About the height of like a, well, it was closer than a regular airplane going overhead.
Okay. So, wow.
It was closer than that, but it wasn't close. It was quite a distance, but like if an airplane were to fly, it would be higher than where that was.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Wow. Well, that's a cool experience, though. And you know, it kind of lines up with my experience of seeing a UFO. It was like, it was only visible in infrared spectrum. It didn't exist in the normal light spectrum for my eyes. And So I when I hear about them winking out, just like you just described, I think, well, you know, they can just cloak. And what I saw was a saucer as well. And so I was just like, well, you know, they could be around us at any time and probably are, you know, but they just can turn off our ability to see them unless we happen to have a infrared scope or something else, I suppose. But yeah, to our naked eyes, they can just wink out and they're gone. But I think they're still there. It's just they're not perceivable anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing a lot. It seems like, yeah, that they're not just disappearing entirely, but that they're just not visible anymore.
Right. Yeah. Like they can cloak, for lack of a better term. Yep. Wow. Very cool.
Yeah. Although I have seen some light shoot up.
Oh.
My husband one day was showing me the Big Dipper. Because he's been, since we moved out here, this is kind of jumping ahead in time, but since we moved out here, he likes to watch the stars because we're out in the country, so you can see the stars really well.
Mm-hmm.
And he was showing me, you know, constellations that he knows, and he was showing me the Big Dipper. And suddenly the star that was at the, where the Dipper meets the handle part, that star.
Yep.
Started taking off at 1 o'clock. It was stationary for a little while when we were looking, and he was explaining it, and then it just took off.
Oh wow!
And the star that's really there is actually dimmer than what we thought was a star. That was actually not a star since it flew off.
Oh, that's cool, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's no question they can do. They can perform, you know, feats that we can't quite yet do. But still, yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, there's so many reports of them just boom being gone, and people assume they fly off so quickly that it's just like boom, a blink, and they're gone. But I think that they're just right there. They're just able to hide.
Yeah, and it was almost like it was hiding deliberately in the Big Dipper. You know, because from Earth, anyone looking up would.
See,
at that distance would think they're seeing just, you know, one of the stars of the Big Dipper.
Sure.
Because it lined up perfectly with that existing star.
Huh.
But then when it took off, it didn't take off that fast. It was like maybe 3 seconds as it went upwards at 1 o'clock and disappeared.
Mm, okay.
So if you were to count like one banana, two banana, three banana, you know, it was just, you know, had gone from stationary to that.
Wow. Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break, so don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. All right, everybody, and we're back, and we're back at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up. We're going in. Yeah, that's powerful. Very powerful.
Okay. About 2004, my husband knows me well, and for my birthday, he got me a haunted doll.
Oh.
And, you know, you're talking about, you know, a good way to study haunted things, and, you know, I didn't have a haunted house. I wanted a haunted house. So bring the haunting in to me, you know.
Sure. Yes. Important.
And she was amazing. You know, when you buy something online, you don't know is it real, is it not, you know, because back then it wasn't that common, but it turned out to be, you know, where everybody has a haunted doll.
Sure.
But at any rate, the first one that I got, we call her Misty, because the previous owners called her Misty because they claimed that they would see a mist around her sometimes.
Oh, okay.
And I've never seen a mist around her. But it was funny when she came in the mail and I opened her up and sat her in a little rocking chair with a little ottoman in front of it. I had three dogs at the time. One of the dogs was staying plastered against my leg like she was terrified. And she would do that like during thunderstorms because this dog hated thunderstorms.
Uh-huh.
You know, they'd bite. so she'd always be plastered to my leg as I walked through the house, or plastered to my husband's leg. And she was doing that with the doll.
Oh, okay.
You know, being there the first day. And one of the other dogs went and went right up to her and was growling and snarling. Like, he went right up in front of her. And then the other dog, who's a sweet little goofy thing and loves to play, she went and grabbed the toy and sat it in the chair with the doll, and then sat there as if she's waiting for her to throw it. So she loved, you know, throw it. You know, you throw her toy, she'll return it, and then you throw it, and she'll return it.
Sure.
Yeah, so I had, you know, three different reactions, but all definite reactions from the dogs over this doll.
Oh.
And I scooted the ottoman a little closer to the chair so they couldn't get in that little space and maybe hurt her, you know.
Cause right.
I didn't know what they might do, you know, especially the one that's snarling and growling.
Right, yeah.
Like, you might tear up the doll. And anyway, that first night, there was some little doll-sized footprints that were coming from the chair area into the, you know, further in the living room.
Footprints
where? And
then
where? The next.
How are you seeing footprints?
They were lighter than the carpet. I have one of those kind of beige brown carpets.
Okay.
And they were lighter than the carpet, but they weren't indentations, because I tried to move, you know, like use my hand to scrub the carpet, you know, to make it fluff back, because, you know, when you have an indentation, that'll make it go back to normal. And that wouldn't work.
Oh, okay.
And it was like a discoloration, a lighter discoloration in the carpet where the footprints were. So I was like, oh, this is strange. I don't know what it is, but, you know, maybe it's not really associated with the doll. Maybe it's something else. But then the next night, they went further into the living room.
Oh.
And then every night, each night, it was like it was exploring further. So then it went from the living room to the study. And then you have to go through the study to get to the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And when it started heading that way, I was like, okay, this seems to be associated with the doll, and I've seen Chucky.
Yeah.
And I don't think the doll is really moving, but I don't want to wake up in the night and see a doll staring at me. So
oh, God, yeah.
I put her up on the top of a tall bookcase, and that stopped it.
Oh, okay. So it would just wander, though, otherwise. Wow.
And, yeah, to this day, I don't think the doll was moving. And the footprints eventually faded out.
Sure.
But it took them a long time, and it was just the weirdest thing. And, you know, I was wondering, is it the dogs doing something, you know?
Sure.
But it looked like, and I've got some pictures of it on my website, perfect little doll-sized footprints just starting to wander away from the sand in other areas of the house.
That's cool. Okay. So what's next?
Also, the same doll, I had asked her, I took her outside, because when I use a flash indoors, it makes everything too washed out and too bright.
Sure.
I'm not real good with cameras.
Mm-hmm.
So I took her outside in the backyard and sat her in the chair and asked her if she would show herself either in orb form or, better yet, an apparition for me to take a picture of her.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually did. There's an orb, but behind the orb, you can see a little girl's head, and she's wearing a little flower in her hair.
Mm-hmm.
She's got, like, long, wavy brown hair.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's really cool. And I also tried to get an EVP with her, and I asked her, you know, I told her what the recorder was and asked her to speak as loud as she could. And I am very tech-challenged, so I don't know any of this stuff. And when I re-listened to it, I didn't hear anything. But when my tech guy listen to it, he heard this little faint, it sounded like a ding.
Uh-huh.
But then when he amplified it, it's a whispery, can you see me? Can you hear me?
Oh, wow.
And I've got that up on the website, too, that EVP, but it's real hard to hear. And, you know, I've tried bumping the volume up louder still, and I can't make it sure. too right. So you need headphones really to hear it at all, but I do have it on the website. And I was like, that's so sweet of her to have given that to me. And yeah. I've tried again, and I don't have a tech guy anymore. So I hadn't gotten anything, and I don't know, maybe something's there and I'm just missing it. But
right. Yeah, a lot of times EVPs are needing to be amplified. They're there, but they're really subtle and they're hard to pick out from the background noise. But a person with a trained ear can usually pull them out pretty well and amplify that section so it really stands out. So every once in a while, you get a true Class A where they do, you know, they don't need anything. They're talking at the same level as people, but they're very, very rare.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's a great experience. Huh.
Yeah, and then I got a Haunted Santa doll and asked him for a picture, and I got a lavender orb.
Uh-huh.
But that's all I got from him, and I didn't get any EVP from him that I know of.
Okay.
And when I got him, anytime I go in, he was known to open and close doors, supposedly. So I gave him ground rules, you know, if you want to open or close a door, do interior doors, not exterior doors.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be at work and have... My door is wide open for anybody to walk in.
Right.
And he seemed to like it when I was in the shower. And I didn't shower at that time the same day, time every day. It,
okay.
You know, it varied.
Sure.
And because I work nights, so sometimes I take it earlier, sometimes later. But when I take my shower, it would sound like all hell breaking loose in the house, like somebody banging. And I was like, who's banging on my door? What's going on out there? You know, and I'd throw my robe on and go out all soapy, and there's nothing there. And then when I'd be, you know, I like to dry off in the shower before I step out on the carpet because I don't like the carpet being wet.
Yeah.
So I would dry off, you know, turn off the water, dry off, be ready to step out, and then the shower would turn on full force again. So I think that was him, since that all that phenomena just started when I had gotten him and didn't, you know, happen before that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he was messing with me for a while, and he'd make, there was also sounds of claws on carpet sometimes weren't the dogs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that seemed to be one of his things, too.
Okay.
And one time, me and the dog saw the living, everything had quieted down for quite a while, and me and the dog thought maybe, I thought that he was gone, but me and the dog were sitting in the living room, and suddenly I have a interior door from the study to the living room, and the door had halfway closed. So I thought that was him maybe saying that he's still there. But both right. me and the dog looked, you know, the dog even looked up to see the door closing.
Oh my God. Wow. Well, I'll tell you, Diana, we're getting low on time. So I know you still have a whole laundry list of stories, but what I would ask you is if any of the remaining stories are real, you know, powerful, and you'd like to make sure to get those in to do that, because, you know, unfortunately, these shows go really quick when we start talking, and so I just want to make sure you have time to get in the big ones that you wanted to.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I could just tell you some more recent ones.
Sure.
I've had a near where I keep Misty the Haunted Doll.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I've seen a shimmer standing at the window, kind of like the Predator shimmer,
yes.
or like heat wave, mm-hmm. that kind of shimmer.
Ooh.
And it was about the height that she would be, which is, I'm 5'3.5", and it would be shorter than me, maybe by six inches or a foot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was just standing there at the window looking out, and the other day, I was sitting at the computer, and the cat was on a bench next to me, and we both saw this gray, misty, elongated thing whoosh right between us.
Oh.
And the cat had jumped up to, like, grab it as if it's a toy or a bird flying or something. He jumped up to grab it, and I have a desk chair that I'm not using as a desk chair right now because I'm trying to repair it. Sitting in the kitchen, which is right behind me, and I had my insulated lunch bag in the chair, and I guess because the cat tried to grab the spirit, it crashed into the chair, knocking my insulated lunch bag out of the chair on
wow.
the floor.
So it was actually a very physical reaction then to that cat leaping up.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and I don't usually watch. Yeah, I don't get to see him most of the time, so that was cool that both me and the cat got to see it, and then that it had that physical reaction.
That's really powerful.
My lunch bag out of the chair. It's on wheels, and my husband was changing out the trash bags, and he was shaking the bag to get the edge to open up so he could stick it in the trash can.
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing it enough times that it was even getting on my nerves. And then suddenly the chair rolled right into him. So whatever spirit was here was getting annoyed with it too, and telling him, knock it off, enough already.
Oh, that's funny. How did he handle that?
Oh, he said, did you see that? Did you see that? Yeah, looking right at you.
Oh, my God. So he took it in good stride, though. It wasn't like he didn't freak out.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. I imagine being, you know, involved with you, he's probably seen a ton of stuff. So, you know, it's just another thing on the list, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's real good-spirited about it, even though. I think even the ghost we have, he's come to love him, too.
Oh, cool.
You know, just be the haunted doll. And poor Santa, he's up in the storage unit because where we're living now is too small for all our stuff, so.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
I think they seem to go dormant after a while. You know, it's, I don't know if they're going off somewhere else and not staying with the object, or if they're going to some kind of sleep, or,
you know,
I don't really know.
We had a gentleman that was contacting the show, and he allegedly is a psychic, and he did an interview with this apparition that he had come to know through quite a while of doing, you know, working with this apparition to try to get her to move on. And essentially she described, according to what he wrote, and I found this incredibly interesting, but according to what he wrote, you're absolutely right. They kind of go into this slumber period, and it's like being in a fog or a mist, and every once in a while they will become kind of aware, and then there will be lights around them. When they're all by themselves, they're just kind of empty and just dormant, or, you know, have really nothing going on. And so it's almost like a hibernation, like you're saying. But then when it was described as these lights would come around, and with these lights came all these feelings and emotions and stuff, and it would really kind of like wake them up and cause this spirit to become aware again of what was going around and become active. And I was listening to this and I thought, my God, I wonder if those lights are people. Like when people are coming into the area that these ghosts are kind of dormant in, if these lights are us. And our energy is kind of spurring them back into activity and awareness.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, I thought that was really, really interesting and really incredible. It's in my email somewhere buried now for a long time, but it was just a brilliant piece, and I was really impressed by that. And I still think back to it all the time, just trying to understand what's going on, but I find that just fascinating.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I think some of them use these objects to have kind of a house in our physical reality so that they can
at least
manifest somewhat here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the reason, because I also have a haunted radio and a haunted mirror. Now, the mirror, though, I think is not haunted by a natural occurrence. I think somebody that was doing magic, came from a yard sale in Louisiana, and I think somebody put a non-human spirit into it.
Oh.
And that one I've had problems with when I first got it.
Oh,
and
okay.
I had to set ground rules, and it's dormant at the moment. But
wow.
I had taken it to work with me because somebody that's a magical practitioner, I was telling him about it. He wanted to see it. Mm-hmm. And when I brought it for him to see, he would, you know, it was dormant at the moment, I guess, and he was shaking it, and he almost dropped it because he said, oh, something's in there, all right. Mm. And when he did that, and he said it's non-human, and any psychic I let look at it said it was a non-human, and my feeling is it's a non-human, but it was causing me pain in every vertebrae in my back and up my neck, and I was carrying it behind my seat in my vehicle. And then I asked my boss, I said, can I bring this inside, you know, because I don't want to carry it with me. And when I put it in her office, she said, you need to go home or something, bring that thing with you. It's giving me a terrible headache.
Wow. Jeez.
But, that one, it'll make, when people look into it, sometimes it'll, like, make their hands seem like it's trembling. And I thought their hands maybe were trembling, but when I held it, because I know I'm not afraid of it, you know, it was still some, when it was doing that effect, do that. It's also made people's eyes look black to them when they looked in it. It does some weird stuff.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And one of these days, I'm going to try sleeping with it under my pillow and see if I can get any dreams to learn more about it.
You're a brave soul. That's all I can tell you. You're a brave soul. Wow. I think I'd leave it in the garage and just see if something came to me. You're talking about putting it under your pillow.
Yeah, I've got it in my bureau drawer, you know, right now. But, and it's been quiet for a long time. But, yeah, I've had arguments with that one. I threatened it with Organite. I don't know if Organite will really, you know, Organite, the theory of it is it takes energy in its area and it basically shreds it and lets it out as pure energy. So, like, if you have something that puts out a lot of EMF that's harmful to us, you know, you can set a piece of Organite near it and that helps purify. It's like an air purifier, but for energy.
Oh, cool.
And I had threatened the spirit in the mirror with that.
Wow.
Like, if you don't behave, I'm gonna stick this Organite on you.
That's really cool. I love that you're you're bringing so much to the table along with your stories. I really appreciate that, because things like the Organite and the chakra at the base of the skull and things like that, I love this kind of information. And this is the stuff that's kind of hard to find and hard to hear about. So I really appreciate you putting that on the table as well.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
I like to be able to help people, but this is just a few things, you know, I've experimented with, although I don't know if the Organite would hurt the spirit or not, but it did make it start behaving at least.
Oh, good. I guess it's good leverage either way. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like we were having one-sided argument pretty much. Well, I guess it was two-sided because it was causing me physical pain. So by it backing off from that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was, when you were describing that, I was thinking, well, is there an attachment that's formed that's causing you to physically react to that? And that's what I was thinking, I guess, but I'm sure you probably are well protected against things like that.
Yeah, and I allow myself some openness anyway in general, just because if I don't allow anything in to experience it, I can't learn about it. And I don't recommend everybody do that because, you know, I can pull up protection at a moment's notice if I need it.
Okay, yeah,
you know,
exactly. 'Cause
I've been doing this long enough, you know, that, you know, I can do it, but a lot of times, you know, I'll go into places and leave myself open because I'm not the most psychic thing on the planet.
Sure.
By a long shot. So that helps me maybe get a little bit, you know, of psychic impression or get to experience a little of what something's about, so that way, you know, I can learn more about it.
Well, I think that's brilliant and fascinating, and I really appreciate you taking the time to be here with us again. I hope that you'll continue to record these things, because I can see you coming back and doing a part three, and then we can fill in the blanks of the ones we didn't get this time, and then any new ones that come up.
Oh, okay.
Thank you again, Diana, for coming on. I really, really appreciate it. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Oh, you're welcome. And please, again, really seriously, stay in touch. I want to know if more is coming up. And also, if you have any guidance on some of these wisdoms that you've taught us throughout this discussion, if there's materials that you're reading or that you've read, or you know, if you've written your own, I'd love to, if they're on your website, All of this would be really great because I really take pride in the fact that I want the portal not only to be a place where people talk about this stuff, but hopefully can help to learn how to cope with it and protect against it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is your website have information?
I have some helpful tips that I need either done or heard about, like my Bigfoot ones. It's ones I've heard about because I haven't had any personal experiences with Bigfoot or Dogman, but I do have some tips that I've heard, you know, work on there, and then I have, you know, some the tips that I've experienced myself.
Okay.
And that's on my website, hexanparanormal.net, which is hexanparanormal.net. I plan on adding to it too.
Yeah, I hope so, because it's like your journey's still happening.
Oh yeah.
You know, you're still
I'm old, but I'm not dead yet.
Well, thank you again, Diana. It's been a rare pleasure, and I really do look forward to having you back on for part three.
Thank you so much, Grant. Have a good evening.
All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, as well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows in our vault of journeys into the paranormal portal. So hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So stay tuned. But we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. Take care, everybody.
Sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.